Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome to the Shepherd's Call. My, but it's good to have you sitting in with us tonight. We're going to get right back into the scriptures on why. The answer is blowing in the wind. Praise Yahweh. So we need to know why that we call upon the great, mighty, magnanimous, magnificent, powerful, all-powerful name of the great King of eternity, and by this name it is actually a connector back to the family, because the whole family in heaven and earth is in this great name. Now, how do we contact that eternal being? Who is this eternal being, and how should we worship him? Most people give him what is known as lip service, or they go through the motions and set in the outward temple. And we know from Scripture that there's an inward temple and there's an outward temple. We know from Scripture that there's an inward man and an outward man. We know from Scripture that there's an inner court and an outer court. And we got to choose one of these. Now, if we're going to religion, and the Bible talks about vain religion, if you will notice what most religion is talking about today or doing or practicing, war, sexual abuse, hate, all of this is identified with religion. And all the troubles of the earth have been mostly over religious wars or religious dogmas or differences of religion. Now we got the three major religions that the Bible depicts as unclean spirits come out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet. These spirits were like frogs. They were hopping about upon the earth trying to consume or deceive who they will. Now, if you look at these three false spirits, they are prevalent upon the earth today. We won't get into any name calling just at this point, but we will give you some things to think about. Notice the place that God dwells. Now, let me give you, first of all, what God is. The Bible said that God, we're going to define him in the most simplest of all terms, is light. Now, let me give you a scripture here in John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. Colossians 2:6. As ye therefore receive Christ the Messiah, so walk you in him. Colossians 2:6. Psalms 119:105. This is a precious scripture. I love it. The word, thy word, thy word, O Yahweh, is a lamp unto my feet. Now you talk about putting your feet in a place where the light is. Now think about putting your feet where there is no light, and the difference between the two, walking with the light and walking without the light. If you walk without the word, you're actually walking without the light, because he said, thy word is a lamp to my feet. Now, if the word says to do it this way, and you have a traditional form, and you're going to do it that way, then the Bible will tell you, full well did Elias prophesy of the hypocrites, saying with their mouth, that's religion, they draw near unto me, but their heart, actually the performance, is far from me. Now, that's Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Now, we know that the Bible says, see and ask for the old path, and when you find it, walk in. Then what's your path? It's the proven path. Everybody wants to go on a new path. Everybody wants to have a new way. Everybody wants to say the old path is, oh, that was for them back there. That's not for me. But what does the entrance of God's Word give? The entrance of His Words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Psalms 119:130. Now, let me read that again. The entrance of your words give light. I like that. The entrance of your words give light. Now, God is light, and God is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The entrance of your word give light. God is light. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh. And so therefore, the man that was made flesh, God, said in John 8:12, I am the light of the world. And he wasn't kidding. This is amazing how in John 12:35, listen as I read. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. I am the light of the world. Walk while you have the light, for darkness is coming, and he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And as therefore you have received Christ, so walk in him. Thy word is a lamp for my feet. How are we going to go about our Father's business unless we know the entrance into the kingdom? Now, that's a good question, Pastor Buddy. Let me give you a text that I often refer to in my teachings, because I do not believe for one minute that the kingdom is an outward kingdom. If it is, then our faith is in vain, and we're running in vain, and we cannot inherit. Flesh and blood will inherit if it's a outward kingdom. The spirit man will inherit if it's an inward kingdom. Now, we've got to choose between the two. There's no compromising here. You've got to choose this day who you'll serve. Are you going to serve the inward man or the outward man? Which man is going to rule in your temple, on your throne, sitting in the mercy seat of the cherubim? What do you decide? It's up to you. Choose this day. Honestly contend for the faith. Luke, let's go to Luke chapter 17 again, and verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees, remember I told you last night that the Pharisee was someone that trusted in his own righteousness and despised the righteousness of others? Other people never, in his eyes, are never right. There's always something wrong in a Pharisaical position. They see out of their eyes, not out of the eyes of light. For God is light, it says. They asked him, demanded him, they demanded, when the kingdom of God should come. He answered and said, I want you to really get this. Mark it in your Bible. You Bible studiers that are going with me here and tonight into the Word, mark Luke 17:20. And he answered and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Well, we've got people looking in the sky. They look everywhere but the right place to find Christ. The Bible said Christ in you is the hope of glory. Well, if he's in you, what are you looking outside for? Why do you use the five senses to try to find him? In vain they worship me, or you shall seek me, but you won't find me. Most churches are waiting for a temple to be built. When you are the temple that he built, God does not dwell in temples made by hands. I don't repeat this. God does not dwell in temples made with hands. Now, if that's true, then why are we sitting looking at the Middle East in Jerusalem, where Yahweh was crucified, which the Bible calls Sodom? If you don't believe it, if you read the Bible in Revelations, it'll tell you that that place where he was crucified, in spirit sense, was Sodom. How could it be a holy place? Well, would God set his temple in Sodom? Ladies and gentlemen, God will not park himself into a temple of stone. He didn't do it when he was here, and he won't do it when he returns. Now, when he returns is when he comes to his temple, which whose temple you are. So if God comes to the temple, he enters in your temple because you are the temple. And so this is, I know this comes across and smacks of New Ageism. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not New Ageism, this is Old Ageism. This is the old path teaching, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, verse 21, mark it, neither shall they say, lo here, or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. I want to repeat that. I want to drive it home to the inner man, to the inner chamber. I want to turn your faith from the outward observational points and hopes to an inward affection where that you can commune with God sitting in the temple of your heart day and night. He never leaves. He said, I'll walk in you and I will be in you. And he said unto his disciples, verse 22, the days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it. The days have come that you'll desire to see. You see, we got people desiring for him to come back and sit in the temple. And everybody come up and worship him. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wouldn't worship me, if you wouldn't go to the temple now, if you wouldn't serve him, if you wouldn't obey him, if you wouldn't keep his rules, the world is the lamp. If you can walk in the light, you certainly can't walk in darkness. So if you're not keeping the word, it's a sure sign that you wouldn't keep it if he was here, because he is the word. And if you would break his written word, you would break the living word. If you won't keep the written word, you surely can't have the living word. Until you obey, he gives the Holy Ghost to them that obey, for the kingdom of God is within you. Don't look without for the kingdom does not come with observation. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we're asking why tonight. Why did God choose an inward venture? Why did he choose an inward kingdom? Why is he laughed at or mocked at or held in contempt? God don't see, God don't observe, God don't realize this evil world that we live in. Oh, that God would come and put an end to evil. When God comes, he puts an end to your evil. He's building the temple. His temple is his children, one child or one brick, as they say, at a time. God is not going to set this earth in order, because if you understand, at the last trump, when the eternal manifests himself in spirit being form, then all of those that are with him shall be translated and changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, not to inherit the outer kingdom, that will disappear. But they will possess the inward kingdom, or the inward earth, not the outward earth, the inward earth. And this is the confusion that man has always wrestled with in his mind. I told you last night that Jacob wrestled with the angel. And it's a type of us wrestling with ourselves. The greatest enemy that we have to conquer is self. Oh, yeah, we can go out and do all these other things to other people, but we can't even do anything. I've seen men that weigh 300 pounds can flip 20 men. And they marry a woman that weighs 90 pounds, and she leads him around like he's got a ring in his nose. Now, I never could understand that, but I'm sure you've seen that happen yourself. So you see, it's not the flesh man that we're interested in here tonight. It's the spirit man, and to strengthen the spirit man, we got to weaken the flesh man. Now, that's a strange analogy, Pastor Buddy, that you're laying on me. Glory to God. Well, it is. It is a strange, very strange. It is a strange analogy. But if you would look at 2 Corinthians. Let me go and give you a little scripture here in 2 Corinthians, if you will, before we continue here. It's just a thought that jumped in my mind here. Let me go over to 2 Corinthians and prove my point here, as Paul tried to get rid of the weakness of the flesh. Now, listen to what the Messiah said. He said, "For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, whom now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations." Now these were inward revelations, ladies and gentlemen. "Thou was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." Three times he sought Yahweh. "And he said unto me, Yahweh said unto Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now, isn't that a strange parallel or paradox? That if you've got weak flesh, you've got a strong spirit. If you have a strong flesh, you've got a weak spirit. Well, that's just the way he made it. The things that are out should have been in, and the things that are in should have been out. So Satan come along and turned this kingdom upside down. What's in is out. What's out is in, and what's up is down, and what's down is up, and so on and so forth. It's a paradox of opposites here that we're wrestling about, and God does not dwell in temples made with hands. He dwells in every fiber, every cell, every dimension of your being, the inward man. It's an inward temple. That's why that we talked about the inward temple or the inward chamber, and you must, all men must come to him standing without, and they must open, because Christ said, the inward God said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Now, what door is he knocking on here? Let's find out. Here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, listen as I teach on this, and I hope that you'll get a comprehensive understanding that the world is going mad in the flesh realm, when they should go mad for the inward venture. They should chase the inward dream and not pursue the outward flesh man. You see, we're trying to bring about the kingdom of God, when the kingdom of God was set up on the day of Pentecost, and it's been here for over 2,000 years without observation. Nobody can see it. But you perhaps, maybe, probably, I hope that you're one yourself, but you may meet a kingdom man every day, or woman. Someone that's in the kingdom. So the kingdom of God is coming to you. Notice here in 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. Remember, the light of the body is the eye. The light of the body is the eye. God is light. The light of the body is the eye. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means just exactly what it says, that if the eye be single here, the body is full of light. Now, I'll repeat that. So it's the two natural eyes that you don't need to find God. You don't really have need of the natural eyes. That's what got Adam in trouble. He closed the single eye, which is the third eye, we call it, and he opened the two out natural eyes, the outward eyes, and he began to see, hear, taste, smell, and feel, and he fell into sin, and sin created karma, and karma stuck him here until he was bought with a price with the blood of the kinsman redeemer. on mine. And then this Redeemer said, you shall seek me, but you won't find me, because people are looking for the Mormon Tabernacle Choir temple. They're full of the tabernacle choir singing with the apostle giving way to Christ to sit where the apostle sits. Ladies and gentlemen, this is grandeur, presentation of a flesh, an outward show. Who can build the biggest temple? The biggest temple will receive the most people. Build a better mousetrap, and the world will be the path to your door. Build an inward kingdom, and only God will find you. Or you can only find God. It's hid from the wise, and it's hid from the world, so the light of the body is the eye. But if the eye be evil, your whole body is full of darkness. You see that? If your two natural eyes are trying to find the kingdom in an earthly sense, you got an evil eye. You're lusting for the outward. Oh, yes, we dream. Yeah, we're full of pride. I'd like to see God come back here and set up a natural kingdom. That would be nice if he and beat the hell out of all the enemies and crush them under his feet and destroy all the wicked. I'd like for him to do that and take revenge. But that ain't what the fight's all about here. The fight and the task set before you is to run this race that you're running with patience, and with patience you possess your soul. Now, notice in Psalms 67, verse 2, thy way may be known upon the earth, that thy way may be known upon the earth, thy saving health among the nations, that thy way may be known upon the earth. Psalms 18, verse 11. Now, let me give you a strange scripture here. Now, in the message, God is light. But God don't set in light. God sets in darkness. That's what the Bible said. God is setting in the darkness. He's hid from the wise and the prudent, and revealed to babes, those that will humble themselves, those that will actually conquer themselves, those that will become innocent in his presence, those that will give up the calloused, carnal of the outward, the desires of the carnal, calloused outward. God wants you to be tender and merciful and childlike in your approach to him, for he seeketh such to worship him, and he said, forbid not the little children, and that's the type, for such is the kingdom of God, and except you become as little children, you can't enter in. If you're always running around bragging about how many guns you got, and you're ready to kill the devil, the first one you need to start with is yourself. There's your enemy. You don't have enough guts to kill yourself. You don't have enough nerve to kill yourself. You refuse to die. Fasting 10 days would kill you. Preparing your temple for the coming of the king, to sweep it, to garnish it, and to make it alive and vibrant and holy and just would be a job that would be insurmountable for your lack of faith. Oh, yeah, you can go out and conquer. You can go to the jungles of Vietnam and crawl through the swamp and let the leeches suck the blood out of you until you're dried up for a cause that was, at that time, seemed just, but then we were sold out and told exactly that our boys came home dishonored, disfellowshipped, and in shame. That's the way a nation will treat its people, but God don't do that. You come to him and call through the infiltration course of the spirit world, he'll receive you. Praise Yahweh. Well, this is Pastor Benny Shepherd's Call. I'm down at the bottom of the hour. Wait, I'm coming back in two. I'm going to give you some scriptures. I'll tell you what to do. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you sitting in here with us tonight doing a little study. It's a very standing out here in East Tennessee. It's a good time to meditate and to feel the inward temple, this dark temple. Inside, it's dark. We need the light. And God is light. The Bible said, if you will seek God, then the God that you seek will suddenly come to your temple. Notice now, in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law. The book of the law. Now, what is the book of the law? It shall not depart out of your mouth. So then, if the book of the law is not to depart out of our mouth, then we need to speak the divine science or the divine laws, and it's not really flesh and blood laws or the flesh and blood interpretation, because Paul said the law is just, the law is holy, and the law is good. But the law is spiritual. But men sought it as it was in the carnal. And so they sought an outward affection to please God in the Pharisaical sin. But see, God doesn't look on the outward. He really despises the outward. That's the place where Satan gets all the glory and the honor and the praise and the ego and the pride and the envy. The five senses. See, that's Satan. You're saying, Pastor Buddy, I'm Satan? Well, the flesh man who shall not inherit must die. And you've got to die while you're breathing. That's very strange. And people say, well, I know I'm going to die, Pastor Buddy, and when I die, you know, the spirit gets free. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the spirit wants free now. Learn to free the spirit while you're living. This is the object of our being here and the schoolmaster of the law, and do not let the law depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein on the law, therein. Now, let me bring that back to you and run it by you one more time. I don't know where you caught it or not. Meditate on the law therein. See, the error of the Pharisees and these ones that were quote-unquote doctors of the law, they took it in the natural man that God would look upon their person. When God doesn't look upon the outward, he proved that when Samuel was down anointing all the sons of Jesse. He had 8 sons, by the way. And every one that Jesse would come to, he'd say, surely this is the guy. And now, Samuel's a prophet. And so who's looking on the outward man? I mean, here's the prophet now that he had to hear the word before he was just a normal man until he heard the word. Then he heard the word, he acted on it, and then his faith is counted for righteousness. But Samuel said, surely this one's the one. And then he ran out of sons. He said, well, my heaven, the Holy Ghost never did speak, never did choose a one of the first 7. And so then he obviously asked, because he was been sent and said, I'm going to anoint Jesse's son. And he said, do you have another? He said, yeah, we got one more of your tending sheep. He's just a young lad. Well, Jesse said, bring him here, let me look at him. And just as soon as David brought his presence into the eyes of Samuel, the Holy Spirit spoke to Samuel and said, that is him. A little ruddy-faced Irish, Scottish lad. The red-headed, freckled lad that the Father chose to lead his people. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. Ladies and gentlemen, therein, it's mentioned twice in this 8th verse of Joshua 1, therein lies the key, therein. Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is light. God is in you. You've never seen God anywhere. No man has seen God at any time. God is a spirit, and God is a light. And so you must seek the light, and where does the light dwell? In the darkness. Now, isn't that strange? Yes, God dwells in the thick darkness, the Bible said. Why would he want to dwell in the thick darkness? That he may make his way known unto the sons of men. Unto the sons of men, those actually that seek him, those that hunt him, those that pursue him, and those that have a hunger or a desire for him. His name is holy, and he dwells in the high and the holy place, and with him also is he of a contrite and an humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And he dwells in the thick darkness. At least he comes in the thick darkness. You're recognizing by light. There's two aspects of the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit descended upon the 120. Now, 120 represents in numerical value 12, which is complete satisfactory government, or in divine orders, what it represents. And the Bible said, he came in light, far set upon their head, and they heard a sound from heaven. So light and sound is the two divine principles of God's coming in your life. You must pursue the inward venture. You can never find God. You can't kill enough people on the earth to bring in the kingdom. It don't happen that way. It wasn't God's way all along. Well, say, well, Pastor Buddy, why then did he use Israel as a battering ram to drive out all the enemy? He was trying to place the children in a secure place to teach them his divine covenant and to let that law remain in their mouth. And yet, by doing so, they took it wrong. The Bible said he found fault with the first covenant. That's the law. You know why? Because man interpreted in the natural when God gave the law spiritual. Paul said, I'm carnal, sold under sin. Therefore, I interpret the law in a carnal way. When the law is spiritual, just, and good. So, meditate upon these things. Now, let's look at meditation. What is meditation? It's communicating with God directly without darkness. Now, remember, you're looking in the dark temple inside your own being. You're seeking the unknown. It's dark there. It's a new place for you. It's a new experience. And remember, I said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So you must make an effort. You can't go to enough churches. You can't sign enough church cards to get enough religion to go to heaven. Because religion is not going to take you there. Religion is vain. So meditation is communicating directly with God without religion. Not with religion. Because you get religious, you're going to do like the Pharisees, and you're going to get uppity, 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 and then you're going to be Humpty Dumpty, as you're going to have a great fall. So don't try to get righteous in the flesh, man. Try to perfect the spirit in the fear of Yahweh. Because he said to Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Communication that takes place in the human brain between the life that animates the body, meaning you, the temple, and the life that animates the universe, meaning God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and God dwells in the thick darkness. So you must find it. Now God comes as light. Oh, this is marvelous. All the scriptures of the Old Testament that I just read you here in Joshua. Remember he said, let it be enough. Meditate on it day and night. Meditate. Think about it. Let it sink down into your heart and let all these things that are written, and now there is performance. There is things to do. Obedience is better than any sacrifice. I'm not asking you to become a long-haired hippie with a couple of joints of Mary J. to become a guru out on some desert with your legs crossed or looking out into space. That ain't what I'm talking about. That's not what all of this teaching's about. This teaching is an action teaching of, it's an adverb modifying the action of the believer. And the Bible says, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily. That word unworthily is the adverb that modifies the action. It places the emphasis upon the performer or the performed the performance of him that came to die for you as the redeeming prodigal son. So then the action is on the performer that has already performed, not on you. Now you've got to prove yourself. You've got to lay aside every little weight and sin that so easily besets you, but you've got to come into the mind or into the temple of God. With the very construction of the temple, it is like, if you will, if you examine it, if you look in the temple, Solomon's temple, when he built, it's actually designed on the inside of a brain. It looks exactly like the inside of a human brain. Now that's strange, but that's just exactly the way God wanted it to be. Now in Exodus 26, verse 33, he said, "Hang up the veil, and the veil shall divide unto you between the holy place and the most holy." Now the holy place is for you, and the most holy is for him, and then the separation is the veil, and when you lift the veil or part the veil is the flesh man to be conquered. Once you meditate on these things and become obedient, now what is obedience? Well, what was the teaching on the day of Pentecost? Peter said unto them, they said, "What must we do to rip down the veil, to tear down the veil?" Remember when Christ was crucified? At that very hour, the ninth hour? Ninth is resurrection. The three threes are nine, so it's a resurrectional or a universal number, the three. Thou three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Thou three things that bear record upon it, water, blood, and spirit. And these three agree in one. The other are one, and the other agrees in one. So now you become the holy place, your temple. Remember whose temple you are. God is holy. Be verse 4 holy. Present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Know you not that you are the temple of the Most High God? And that God dwells in you. But yet most people are looking for God without. They're looking for him to come in the sky. When he don't come in the sky. I'm sorry. He comes, you say, well, he comes in the cloud. What are the clouds? It is the confusion of the mind. He comes through your own mind. This is a cloudy picture where he was veiled in the cloud, representing in the temple. It is the power to separate or to hide itself from the human brain until the human brain gives way to the spirit brain or the subconscious mind. And therefore you have peace with God. The only way you can have any peace is seek an inward venture. There's no peace to the outward man. If you think it is, if you think anything will give you peace in the outward, why don't you just look at history? You say, well, if I had money, I could be at peace. That'd be your worst nightmare on Elm Street. Because if you don't have a blessing given with it, then you are asking for a lot of trouble. And I'm telling you, just go to Hollywood, to the stars that are rolling in money. They have money. They get some of them get $20 million for one two-hour film. And some of them can make that in 3 months' time. Some of the greatest movies ever made was simple and fast, and the rich got richer and the powerful, but they didn't get any contentment or satisfaction from being stars. You want to be an inward star, not an outward star. You want to shine inwardly, not outwardly. You want to be seen inside the temple, not outside the temple. Remember the Pharisees? They left to pray and go about in long robes. See, that shows you that religious people fight and kill each other over a building in Jerusalem. That's what they're doing now. Can't you see this? They're about fighting over a piece of, they say it's holy land, and God says it's a Sodom. You say, yeah, but now, Pastor Murray, the Bible said the temple will be built in the last days. They don't say that. What temple are we talking about? When God don't dwell in temples made with hands, and you tell me that he's promised to come and get in a temple? There is a God coming to get in a temple, and I've done cover that with you, and it sure ain't the one I serve. So I'm not looking for God in Jerusalem. I'm not looking for Jesus in Jerusalem, if you will. That's the false, that's the god of the world that's going to sit there. And he's going to, and yeah, it's going to work like a charm. It's going to deceive the very elect, because most of the religious world and the religious people, they're looking for that outward god. That, see, God, the outward god is Satan. The day that you eat of it, you know you'll become as gods. As gods, not God, but as gods. Knowing good from evil. See, that's the trick of the devil. You say, well, I know that that's God over there in the temple, because if he can come and heal that headache, that has to be God. If he can come and raise the dead, it has to be God. If he can come and do away with death, that has to be God. Well, that, all of the above is going to be performed by this miracle-working God that's going to come and sit in a mortared temple of clay and deceive the very elect. But the real people that have God within know better. They won't run out there to sea. They won't run out in the desert. They won't run over to Jerusalem. They will not go up there to bow at his feet and worship him and kiss his ring. They ain't going to do that, because they know that God does not dwell in temples. So beware of religious people that fight and kill each other over trying to set up a kingdom on the earth. The holiest of holies is the place of the being that by entering in through the veil, that is behind the veil, that is piercing the veil, when Christ died, the veil was pierced from top to bottom. Now, what did it reveal? Why did it do that? It was a type and an antitype. It was a metaphor, if you will, of two different conditions. One, to show you, number one, that there was no ark. See, that ark had long disappeared. There was no ark back there that the Pharisees had sitting behind the veil to accept all the tithes and offerings of all Israel who struggled to meet the conditions of the outward law. They strived about all these things, washing their hands in pots and pans and the like manner, and putting on certain garments and stuff like that. That is not what God intended. So he ripped it down to show them that the ark, this most precious holy relic that man would die for today if he could find it, was not there. Where's it at? The Ark of the Covenant is within you. You want to find it? You want to be an explorer? You want to be Indiana Jones? Well, why don't you just suck up to the task here and go in and find green pastures, or find the living water. He that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly, out of his inward being, shall flow rivers of living water. Don't follow these cult leaders, these external, material, grab a gun and shoot and kill somebody to set up a kingdom. That ain't going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. Babylon will be thriving here until Christ comes. Babylon will be here until the last trump. They will be eating and drinking and being merry and marrying and giving in marriage and till the day that Noah entered into the ark. Now, why did Noah enter into the ark? It is a type of the inward safety. That's where you find it. Why is it that the wicked, the external, were taken and Noah inside the ark was left? Does that tell you something? Why was the two by two? It represents the, like I told you, the inward man and the outward man, or the inner chamber and the outward chamber, and the inner court and the outer court. The inner court was for the chosen, the special. The outer court was for the Gentiles or the heathen or the unclean. And no unclean thing shall walk thereon. You can't find him being unclean. You must strive lawfully. The Bible said, every man that desires to be crowned must strive lawfully. And I'm giving you the instruction here on how to get in. Well, this is Pastor Buddy, and I've really enjoyed being with you tonight. This has been my pleasure. I love to teach you on these things. I hope and trust that you've got a blessing out of it, and it's made some spiritual sense to you. If you've been blessed by it, simply write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. That's Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, if you don't even spell new tag, well, the right, but you get the right zip on it, they'll get it on down here to Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip, 37824. If you'd like to call me tonight, area code 423-626-2172. Call me up. Let's talk about the inward venture of the deep within the deep. Deep answer to deep. You got to go deep to get deep to answer to you. And ladies and gentlemen, you'll never, never, never go deep at the outward man and trying to solve your problems. These problems will be here burning and raging as long as this physical, third-dimensional earth exists. Now, when it melts away, when there is a new heaven and a new earth, when there is the inward earth and an inward heaven, when this is turned back inside out, now to outside in, when it's set back in its rightful order, when this chaotic conditions of the earth has been corrected by the eternal spirit as it was in before the fall of Adam, the Atom, who was split and brought male, female, positive, negative reaction into the third dimension to challenge Lucifer and his fallen ones. My, what boldness. Yahweh chose that we should fight the good fight of faith. We're soldiers of the crown. Not for the crown of the British crown. Oh, that is a joke. From the word go, when the first king ever chosen, Saul, it was a joke. God did not intend for Israel to look to an outward king. He said, I am their king. Search for me. Hunt for me. The day will come, you'll seek, you'll hunt and search, and there will be no king to set up on the throne. Because you don't want the king on your inward throne, you have no king but Yahweh. Praise Yahweh. So, give me a call. Let's talk about it tonight. Praise Yahweh. And we would like to thank you for tuning in to the Shepherd's Call of the Faithful. Now, we got a lot of faith. We're growing a faithful congregation of people. We're asking for the deep that cries out to deep. If you love the Father, if you like to repent, if you like to get baptized in the divine, magnanimous, magnificent, all-powerful, all-holy, wondrous, glorious name of Yahweh, then contact the show here tonight. Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. And remember, the Feast of Passover coming up the 25th of this month in Andrews, North Carolina. Expecting a good gathering of people there to keep the second Passover with us at the House of Yahweh in Andrews, North Carolina. Now, Pastor Buddy, the Shepherd's Call. And a blessing to be with you tonight and a joy. Yahweh bless you, Jacob Israel, and seek the kingdom within.
Each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this radio station. Praise Yahweh.